Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Robert Bailey. He's president of the board of the Alaka Alliance and will be leading a discussion at the Coos History Museum on April 1st at 6 p.m. Bob will solve the mystery of what happened to the sea otters in Oregon. If you can't make it to the museum in Coos Bay on April 1st, then you're in luck. We have Bob Bailey on the exchange this morning for a few minutes. Welcome, Bob.
Well, good morning to you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to get to this mystery about the missing sea otters on the Oregon coast, but first, I'd like to clear up the mystery of the Alaka Alliance. What is it?
The Alaka Alliance is a nonprofit, an Oregon nonprofit organization with a mission to return sea otters to the Oregon coast in order to make our coastal ecosystem more healthy and robust and resilient. Alaka, the word Alaka is taken from a Chinook jargon word, and the Chinook jargon was a language developed in the early 1800s by ship captains, fur traders, and native people of the Northwest to facilitate trade. And one of the words in the Chinook jargon dictionary is the word for sea otter, and sea otter was pronounced Alaka or Alaka, but we say Alaka. So the Alaka Alliance is a sea otter focused group.
So how many people are part of this group, and are any of the indigenous tribes part of it?
Good question. We have a board of directors that varies anywhere from a dozen to, I think we had 15 a year or so ago, and then we had a couple of resignations. But yes, the coastal tribes or coastal tribal members are participants in our alliance. Two board members are tribal members of the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians, and another is the chief of the Coos Lower Umpqua Siuslaw Indians, and then a third is a member of the Coquille Indian Tribe. They've been a huge part of not just the effort, but even launching the effort. The Alaka Alliance was begun in the early 2000s by a man named Dave Hatch, who was a Siletz tribal member and Siletz tribal council member. And Dave, in researching the name for a small boat, ran across this word, Alaka, and realized that if it was important enough to have been a word in the Chinook jargon, it must have been an important animal. And he began to research the role of that animal, the sea otter, in the tribal traditions of coastal people, and came to realize that the sea otters had once been very important to the tribes and to the coastal ecosystem on which the tribes depended. And so he set about to an effort to try to bring sea otters back.
When you talk about the coastal region, give me a sense of how broad or how wide this coastal region is.
We are focused primarily on the Oregon coast. That's who we are.
Okay.
But there is a gap in the coverage. Well, once upon a time, sea otters lived in a more or less continuous population or series of populations all the way from the northern island of Japan across the Aleutian Islands to Alaska, down the Pacific coast, Oregon, Washington, California, all the way to Baja, Mexico. Today, and there's a long, sad story about why they disappeared at the hands of the fur trade. But today there is a gap between the Olympic Peninsula in Washington and the population in California south of San Francisco that's about 800 miles where there are no sea otters.
Wow. So give me a sense of what that gap looks like. If you have a population of sea otters to the north and a population of sea otters to the south, what are those populations? And then in between, what do we have?
Well, the population to the north is a population that was begun in the late 1960s when the Alaska Fish and Game and the federal wildlife officials translocated some animals from Chitka Island in the Aleutians to the Olympic coast in Washington. About a year or so later, they translocated a batch of animals to the southern Oregon coast, which did not ultimately succeed. And that translocation is the subject of my talk in Coos Bay next week. But then the population to way to the south in California are the descendants of a remnant population that survived in the Big Creek area of Big Sur, the Bixby Creek area of Big Sur. There was, in about 1938, a group of about 50 otters were found to have been living on the Big Sur coast in some of these hidden coves. And they have gradually spread north and south to become the population that we have today. But in between, there are no sea otters, and as a result, we're seeing the explosion of purple sea urchins that are mowing down kelp forests, and really an ecosystem that is in peril because of this imbalance without this keystone species, the sea otter.
I didn't know the sea otter was a keystone species. So tell me, what happened to the sea otters in the Oregon coast?
They were hunted out for their fur. Beginning about 1740, the Russians tumbled to the information that there were sea otters out across the Aleutian Islands, the Kamchatka Peninsula, eastern Siberia, and that those sea otter furs were worth a fortune to the Chinese. So they, various Russian companies, fur trade companies, set up to go hunt these animals, and they worked their way across the Aleutian Islands to Alaska, and then down the Alaskan coast, as far south as California, where they essentially ran into the Spanish who were occupying California and San Francisco Bay. So you might know of a town in California named Fort Ross. Well, it's really Fort Ross, meaning Russian, and it was established by the Russians as an outpost to raise food for their fur operations up in Alaska, because it's hard to raise crops for food in southeast Alaska. So this whole period of time, the fur trade was going on along the entire West Coast. It's not clear how much that level of fur hunting was going on the Oregon coast, but by the mid-1800s, when European settlers began to show up on the Oregon coast, it was clear that these sea otter furs were worth a lot of money. And so they were picked off one by one, both by white hunters and by native people, for whom the loss of their lands, the loss of their way of life through the reservation system almost required them to hunt sea otters to gain enough money to survive. So by 1910 or thereabouts, all the sea otters in Oregon appear to have been gone.
My guest is Bob Bailey. He's president of the board at the Alaska Alliance. Bob will lead a discussion at the Coos History Museum on April 1st at 6 p.m. They'll be talking about the question of what happened to the sea otters in Oregon. So what I'm understanding you to say, Bob, is that capitalism killed the sea otters?
Yes, it's a sad tale, much like many of the resources around the world and here in the Pacific Northwest, of converting really a wild natural capital into a monetary capital.
Oh, okay, well, help me understand the coastal ecosystem and the role of the sea otter.
Thank you, sure. We now know through repeated and consistent studies that sea otters are a keystone species in the nearshore ecosystem and even into estuarine ecosystems. And what they do is that they keep, because they have such a voracious appetite, and that voracious appetite results from the fact that they have no blubber or fat layer to keep them warm. So they've got a very high metabolism rate. They eat a lot of shellfish, which are calorie rich. And so they eat whether it's clams, mussels, snails, crabs, or sea urchins. Their appetite really shape the ecosystem, and particularly by keeping sea urchins under control. So why is that important?
Yeah, what's the problem with sea urchins?
Because sea urchins, especially purple sea urchins, feed on kelp and seaweed. And if sea otters or sunflower sea stars are not around to feed on those sea urchins, they will overwhelm and overtake and ultimately destroy the kelp beds. And why is that a problem? Because kelp forests, the kelp beds, are the base of the food chain in the nearshore ecosystem and provide not only food, but shelter and cover for protection for small fish, shellfish, a variety of invertebrates, and are feeding grounds even for gray whales. So kelp forests are very important. Sea otters protect the kelp forests. In fact, we call sea otters the guardians of the kelp.
Well, so what role does the U.S. Fish and Wildlife play in protecting these sea otters?
Good question. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has jurisdiction, authority to protect and quote-unquote manage these animals under the U.S. Marine Mammal Protection Act. Manage means really hands-off. The Marine Mammal Protection Act is very clear that about protecting all species of marine mammals, whether it's sea otters or it's walruses or it's whales, a variety of whales. Regulations are very strict about protecting them from hunting and otherwise killing them. So U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service would be the agency that would ultimately provide permission for the Alaska Alliance or the state of Oregon or one of the coastal tribes to return these animals to the state of Oregon.
So how have indigenous people worked to protect the habitat as well?
Well, the coastal tribal folks have been, are very interested in the nearshore ecosystem, principally, well, in two pathways. One is principally because of the importance of kelp beds to the out-migration of young salmon smolts and their survival in the ocean, along with the role of kelp beds in the life cycle of lamprey. So they're very interested in the quality and extent of the nearshore ecosystem as it pertains to these species that are both cultural and importance to the tribe. They're also interested in the nearshore ecosystem, particularly in the rocky intertidal, because for countless generations, that's where they gathered food, whether they were sea anemones called sea roses, or whether they were mussels or clams or other species from the intertidal. So that culturally, historically, the tribes have a big interest in the health and vitality of the nearshore marine ecosystem.
Okay, we have about a minute left. What challenges do you foresee if the sea otter population can't be sufficiently restored and protected?
Well, what we're seeing right now is an ecosystem that's in trouble. There's been an explosion of purple sea urchins across Northern California, Oregon, even into Washington and parts of Alaska, partly due to a sea star wasting disease almost a decade ago. Sea stars also predate or eat sea urchins. But that explosion of purple sea urchins has created urchin barrens and the loss of fisheries, both recreational and commercial, up and down the West Coast. We foresee that continuing without sea otters. Sea otters are not going to turn this thing around in the short term, but over the long term, a healthy ecosystem will depend upon the presence of sea otters.
Okay, well, thanks, Bob, for joining me today. Really important information.
Well, thank you.
My guest was Bob Bailey. He's president of the board of the Alaska Alliance and will be leading a discussion at the Coos History Museum on April 1st at 6 p.m.